Our Bible reading is from John chapter 19, verse 28. Knowing that everything had now finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Julian of Norwich. Jesus on the cross, "I thirst," taken from chapter 17. And in this drying, there came to mind Christ's words, "I thirst." The body had a lack of moisture, because the blessed flesh and bones were left all alone, bereft of blood and moisture. I saw four ways in which the body dried. The first was loss of blood. The second was the consequent torment. The third, being hung up in the air as cloth is hung up to dry. The fourth, that his bodily nature required fluids, and no kind of comfort was offered to him in all his distress and pain. So this evening, we are again faced with another difficult and challenging passage. Last week, we were left at the foot of the cross, watching the deep dying of Jesus, his last moments, how the colours of death flashed across his face. We witnessed his astonishing suffering and protracted torment. Julian calls it continually dying. This week, her focus has shifted from Jesus' face to his body, which is drying through the loss of his blood, she tells us. His blessed flesh and bones were left all alone, bereft of blood and moisture. Julian's moving away from the language of love and entering a world which grasps and names the true cost of that love. She tells us, "The showing of Christ's pain filled me full of pain, and no kind of comfort was offered to him in all his distress and pain." Jesus is alone on the cross, seemingly abandoned, hanging, slowly dying, bleeding, which is caused, she says, by the strong thorns and the rough and agonizing imposition of the crown of thorns, piteously and unsparingly. In a striking departure from conventional medieval passion meditations, Julian puts words into Jesus' mouth, following the Gospels in this respect. "I thirst," Christ cries out. And as I said, these are the same words we hear in our Gospel reading this evening. "I am thirsty," Jesus shouts. Interestingly, these last words of Jesus are only recorded in John's Gospel, and they're uttered moments before his death. Julian saw Jesus' thirst as both bodily and spiritual, reflecting then both his humanity and his divinity. His bodily thirst is described as a lack of moisture as his life drains away, emphasizing his fragile humanity and the pure physicality of dying. In a profound moment of insight, Julian regrets asking God for the three wounds and a bodily sickness. She realizes that the greatest pain we can endure is seeing those we love suffer. There is nothing more painful than seeing Jesus in distress and pain, she reflects, because he's lingering for such a long time. Jesus speaks again. "Are you well pleased that I suffered for you?" he asks her. Julian responds with gratitude, praise, and wonder. Jesus then says, "If you are pleased, I am pleased. It is a joy, a bliss, an endless delight to me that I ever suffered my passion for you. And if I could suffer more, I would suffer more." As I said, this is a bold departure from the mystical tradition, where Jesus is silent and does not speak to those who are meditating on his passion. So these words would have shocked her contemporaries. It shows Julian, I think, at her most original and unsettling. Jesus' simple words are words of love as he dies, words being our last ordinary passion icon. And the enormity of Jesus' love fills her with joy. Again, a surprising reaction, somebody witnessing someone they love so much dying in front of them. She reflects how willingly Jesus suffered, and his love is endless, without beginning, and is and always shall be. This, she realises with wonder, is a message of hope and comfort for alle meine Evenchristen, all my fellow Christians. So Jesus' thirst is both bodily thirst, physical, emphasising his humanity, but it's also spiritual thirst, a yearning for relief. In the spiritual sense, is a yearning to connect with God, a yearning for his presence and his comfort at this ultimate moment of pain. His spiritual thirst, she perceives, is in fact a reflection of his love and longing to have us all together in him, to his delight, so fully and so wholly. Remarkably, she concludes that Jesus' spiritual thirst results in drawing us up into bliss. His dying draws up, us up into bliss, where he regards us as his reward, glory and crown. An incredible reflection, don't you think? Over the past 6 weeks, we have been sitting at the foot of the cross with Julian and meditating on Jesus' passion and death, the ordinary passion icons such as the crown of thorns, the nails, the blood droplets that were like cascades of water coming down the eaves or herring scales, bringing Jesus' passion to vivid life. It's not been an easy place to sit. It's been very challenging and at times distressing. Her words and her voice resonate, especially today. There's much darkness in our world and no sense of an ending in sight. But her reflections offer us words of comfort and hope in our sorrow and in our joy, that we can know and trust that God is with us. Jesus' passion, she remarks, is the greatest and most surpassing suffering. But it also reveals to us, she adds, that we do not suffer alone, but with him. And to contemplate this will save us from grumbling and despair when we experience our suffering. So let's hold on to that truth tonight. No matter what, we do not suffer alone because Jesus suffers with us.